the 2018 vision for Cornerstone, and her first point was talking about God as a milk and honey God. And in the Bible, when God says to the Israelites, I'll take you into a land and it'll be flowing with milk and honey, he's talking about he has good things for you. He has blessings and good things. And that's kind of the milk and honey, that's what that phrase means. And Sarah asked, do we have a milk and honey view of God? And whatever our view of God is, it changes like our daily walk with him. And this is what I want to look at this evening and unpack for us. I want to look at like who God is and what he's like. And what we discover, I think, is a little bit like sweet and salty popcorn. Like they're two very different things, but together they make the best flavor. Sweet and salty popcorn changes lives. Anyway, so growing up in youth group, in church, every year we'd have like a relationships talk and look at like boyfriends and girlfriends and talk about this kind of thing. And I remember, I felt like this happened quite a lot, maybe it was just once, but all the girls would like get shipped off into another room and have a little chat. But one of the activities we'd do is there'd be like an outline of a guy, and we'd have to say, like on the edge of the paper, we'd write like physical things that we'd want in a boyfriend. So, you know, tall, dark, and handsome, you know, that kind of thing. And on the inside, you'd write their characteristics, you know, their personality. So I want someone like a Christian, and I want someone who's kind and generous and funny, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, I'm still waiting for my Christian David Beckham, but whatever. Anyway, I was doing this the other day with God. In like a slightly different way. On the outside, I was writing his names. Like, what do people call God? What are some of the names that we call God? And on the inside, I was writing, but what's God like? What's it like being in a relationship with God? And what's he like? And it's a really funny mix, really like unusual mix of, you know, he's like creator, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, but also generous and compassionate and forgiving and kind. And both are different, but work well together, like the sweet and salty popcorn. And tonight, that's what I really want to unpack, because I think when we truly understand who God is and what his character is like, it really can change our lives. So firstly, who is God? What are some of the names that we call God? I mean, this would take ages to list, but here are just a few that the Bible talks about. It calls God creator. You know, in the beginning, God created heavens and earth. He created everything. He's sovereign Lord, almighty God. 1 Timothy speaks of God being King of Kings, Lord of Lords. God is all-knowing and God is all-powerful. Psalm 147, great is our Lord and mighty in his power. His understanding has no limit. And when we truly grasp this, how huge, how incredible, how awesome God is, it changes our lives and how we see God. Because we're not in a relationship with like any old Joe. You know, it is God, King of Kings. And the Bible speaks again and again about fear in the Lord. Not in a like, I'm scared of him, but in like a reverent fear. Fear in terms of like great respect. Psalm 128 said, how blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. I've started watching The Crown on Netflix, which is a drama all about Elizabeth II and the royals. Sounds more interesting than it actually is. No, wait. No, it is interesting. Like, I didn't think it would be, but it is. And when the thing I've like really noticed is when people come in to have like a chat with the Queen, they have such respect for her, even if they like don't like her, or some like her, some don't, but the respect they have for her because she is the Queen. And I was thinking, you know, if the Queen was here now, we wouldn't just be like, all right, Liz, how's it going? You would have such respect because it's the Queen, isn't it? And that's kind of what I mean when we talk about like respect for God. You have such respect for who he is. Or like when people talk about having like a fear of the sea, it's not that they're like, ah, scared of water, but like, wow, that kind of respect for something so powerful that can like, you know, wash you up. And when it comes to God, he is all powerful, all knowing, creator God. And if we really think about it, we could be in a constant state of like wonder and awe and reverent fear. But when we grasp this, it kind of calls for a response. It must turn into action. It's no good just being like, wow, he's amazing. But then we carry on living our lives, you know, doing our own thing or living in sin. In Acts 10, there's a story about a Gentile man called Cornelius and Peter, who is a Jew. And Peter was a disciple of Jesus, and then he went on to, you know, help start the early church. And the account is all about how God speaks to Peter and says, Peter, this gospel, what Jesus has done, it's for the Jews and the Gentiles. So that's what it's all about. But right at the start of the story, the account describes Cornelius, and it says this. In Caesarea, there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius, who was a captain of the Italian regiment. He was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. Because he was a God-fearing man, this is how it describes him, it led to action. Cornelius was so hungry to know God in a real way that he sought out Peter to explain who Jesus was. And he got saved, and it led to all his household being saved. And that, in turn, had an effect on his actions. Everyone around him, his whole household believed. But also it says he gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly. You know, it affected his actions, how he lived his life, what he spent his money on, what he spent his time on. And for us, does our life reflect our attitude to God? Do we live our lives in such respect for who God is, you know, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, that it affects what we spend our time on, who we spend our time with, how we raise our kids, how hard we work in school or uni, how we treat one another, speak of one another? Because, like, at the end of the day, everything we have is God's. You know, he created us. He has given us all the good things we have in our lives. James 1:17 says, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in heaven. It's not really like our stuff, our lives, our jobs, our relationships. It's all God's. And are we living in a way that honors him and all he's blessed us with? Ecclesiastes 12 says, fear God and obey his commands, for this is everyone's duty. God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. And God is forgiving and loving and kind, and we'll look at that next. But he is also judge and ruler. And our respect for him means that we want to live in a way that he wants us to live. It helps us motivate us not to sin, and to seek God's help in this world to live pure, godly lives, which are honouring to who he is, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Now, in school, we had a chemistry teacher called Mr. Lloyd, and he was a bit scary, but I thought I'd put a picture on. Bethan loved Mr. Lloyd. Anyway, we had a teacher, Mr. Lloyd, and he was a bit scary, but also nice. One of those teachers, and we all really respected him. He was like a really, really good teacher. And because of how much we respected him, we all really wanted to do well and all worked really hard at chemistry. Like, it's chemistry, you know, who wants to do that? But, like, we actually all did work hard. And even the naughty boys respected Mr. Lloyd. And you know, in school, when you have a supply teacher, this, you know, the teacher is sick or something, and you have a sub in, and that's code for you can mess around, you can do what you want, like, you know, sorry, teachers. I mean, you're not there, you have a day off. No, I'm joking. Anyway, so it's, everyone kind of messes around, doesn't really do their work when there's a supply. But in Mr. Lloyd's class, even if there was a supply, you still did your work because you respected him so much. Whether he was in the room or out the room, you wanted to do your chemistry work. You wanted to do well because you respected him. And I feel like this is similar to the Ecclesiastes verse, that God sees everything, private or open, good or bad, and our respect and our reverent fear of him can shape our lives and how we live. But our response to, like, who God is, you know, that, wow, you're amazing, you know, creator, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. One, yes, it helps us, you know, motivate us not to sin and help us to live for God in that way. But it's also a, wow, I really want to spend more time with you. I really think it can help us with, like, our daily walk in our relationship with God, that we want to read our Bibles because we want to discover who he is, more of what he's like. We want to pray, spend time in prayer and communication with him because we want to hear from him and what he has for our lives. We want to, like, walk daily in his spirit, in his presence. We want to know more about him. And our response to, wow, God, you're amazing, can be one of excitement and passion and a lot longing for him and who he is. So that's a little about, like, who God is. We're going to move on to the second part, which is, like, what is God like? You know, like the inside of that man. What is his character like? And God, like I said at the start, is a milk and honey God. He is one who has rich blessing for us. And God's defining characteristic is that he is love. 1 John 4 says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." It's only because God is love that we actually don't need to be absolutely terrified of him. You know, God is all powerful. You imagine if he was all powerful but a hateful God. But he's not. He's merciful and love. He's all powerful, but also one of love. And that's why he sent Jesus. So what is God like? What would you, you know, fill in on the inside? Well, the expression of that love is described in loads of different ways. And here are just a few. 1 Corinthians calls God faithful. 2 Peter speaks that he is trustworthy and patient. He is loving, generous, sacrificial. He is perfect, protective. He is encouraging. He's with us. He is all-loving. He has a plan for our lives. These are amazing truths, aren't they? And how easy can it be to often forget this or take it for granted? My best friend, Becky, she's just got a new job. And we went for a walk last week. And I said, "Oh, how's the new job? And how's the people you're working with?" And she said, "Yeah, lovely, thanks. There's like 6 people on my team." And on day one, I walked into the office. And there were loads of desks all in like a little circle in the office. And then in the corner, like round the corner, was this old desk which was breaking and a bit shabby and like round the corner. And she was like, "Oh, guess that's mine then. You know, I'm the new girl." So she like kind of went round the corner, wasn't really part of the team on this desk, which didn't really work. And then she said the next day, though, she walked in and her team had gone out and bought her a brand new desk. She was like, it was really cool, and I don't know how a desk can be cool, but, you know, it was a cool desk. And they had rearranged the whole of the office to include her. They'd known her one day. It's only a 3-month contract. And so she was like, "Yeah, they're a lovely team." And I was like, "Beck, do not take that for granted. That is so kind that they would think of going out and doing that." I'm not sure many workplaces are like that. I was like, "Really, don't take that for granted. That's a really nice team." I think it's the same with God's character. Just because he is already all these things, merciful, kind, compassionate, let's not take it for granted. Let's not take for granted who he is, what he's done, and the good things he's done for us. Because again, when we truly grasp who God is, his character, and what he's done, it can change our lives. And again, there kind of calls for a response with this, like Cornelius, that there, when we grasp this, it does affect our daily lives. I think when we get it, we can kind of see how much God is a milk and honey God. And I just want to draw out two characteristics of this and how it can affect our lives. So the first one is that God is forgiving. That is who he is. He forgives us. We know that he loves us so much that he sent Jesus to die for us, because our sin and the things we do wrong creates a barrier between us and God. And so he sent Jesus to die on the cross and rise again, so that when we turn to him and say, "I'm sorry, forgive me for what I've done," he forgives us, he wipes us clean, and we can have a relationship with God. So then if we live our lives feeling unforgiven and guilty and not accepted by God, well, what was the point in sending Jesus? We don't need to live in a place of guilt or unworthiness. Jesus died for that. We are forgiven. Psalm 103 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." When we do things wrong and we turn to God and say, "Ah, yeah, I shouldn't have done that. I'm really sorry," he forgives us and we can live in freedom and guilt-free. I was reading the account of Stephen the other day in Acts 7. And Stephen was a Christian in the early church, and he has to defend himself before a council. And this council, like, hated the faith, hated Jesus. They're the ones who killed Jesus. And now Stephen is in front of them defending the faith. And he does this massive speech. You can read it in Acts 7. And eventually he gets to the end and they say, "No, don't like what you've said." And they kill him. They stone Stephen. And right at the end it says, "Saul was one of the witnesses, and he agreed completely with the killing of Stephen." Now later, Saul goes on the Damascus road and has an encounter with Jesus, realizes who he is, turns to Jesus, gives his life to Jesus, and becomes Paul. And he goes round, you know, starting the early church and encouraging the believers. So Saul becomes Paul. And I was thinking, I wonder if Paul ever felt guilty about Stephen. I wonder if in his day-to-day life he ever thought back and remembered that scene where he stood there and said, yes, carry on and kill him. That he now believes in everything Stephen was saying, but he agreed with the killing. Like, I wonder if he felt guilty. I wonder if he ever carried that round. I wonder if that's what motivated him to like work so hard and go to all those churches. And the more I was pondering it, the more I was like, well, I really hope he didn't. And I'd like to believe that he didn't carry that guilt around because he was motivated by Jesus' love and Jesus' forgiveness for us. And I'd like to think he wouldn't have carried around the feeling of guilt because he writes to the Corinthian church and he says, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And Paul would have lived in that freedom that Christ's death bought him. But at the same time, Paul writes to the Galatians church, and he says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. So he's saying, just because you're free and forgiven, don't go around and sinning and being foolish, you know, for the sake of it, because you can be forgiven. No, honor the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Creator of the universe. Let's live a life worthy of him. But when we do things wrong because we are sinful, well, Jesus forgives you. So don't live in that guilt. Be free from that. And when we really truly grasp this, it can bring peace and joy and hope into our lives and a real freedom. And secondly, God is all loving. He loves us so much. We can get that from the fact that he sent Jesus. But he also really cares for us, who we are individually. There's a Christian band called Hillsong and Church, and they write loads of songs, and we sing most of them. And they've just brought an album out called Wonder, and one of the songs, So Will I, is kind of like a really poetic, lovely song, and speaks basically about the amazingness of God's creation. And here's just one little verse. It says, as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born. In the vapor of your breath, the planets form. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. And I find it amazing that God is this massive creator God, created everything, created us, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, you know, awesome God. And yet he cares about us. Like, he cares about me, how I feel, how my days go in, my future, my worries, my hopes and dreams. He cares about you, your future, your worries, your life, your cares and dreams, your family, your friends. He cares about you. He's this massive creator God that cares about you. Now, I'm going to let you into a little family secret, right? Richard's family secret. I don't tell Richard's family secrets that much, so has to stay in this room now, okay? I can see you're all interested in what I'm going to say. Now, I got an older sister called Rachel. She lives in London. And then I got a brother, Matthew, who many of you know. And then I'm the youngest. And we have a little joke about who the favourite child is, okay? Now, Rachel, she's the eldest. She's very intelligent. She went to Oxford. She speaks like a billion languages. She's now practically prime minister, living in London, running the country. So when stuff happens, me and Matthew are like, well, obviously, because Rachel's the favourite. You know, she's all intelligent and successful and amazing. But then as the two girls in the family, me and Rachel are always like, oh, Matthew. Matthew's obviously the favourite. He's the only boy of the family. He's like, you know, mum and dad's little prince. You've all met him. You all know he's amazing. Does everything right. And even to the point that in the house, my mum has like she calls it the Matthew tin, and she fills it with like snacks and treats and chocolate and stuff. And when he comes round, she's like, Matthew, do you want something from the Matthew tin? Is there a Chloe tin? No. Seriously, I'm like, because he's the favourite child. I'm like, can I have something from the Matthew tin? She's like, no, it's for your brother. Great, thanks. But despite all that, we all know that I'm the favourite child. Like we all do. I'm the youngest. I'm the fun one. Like we all know it. Well, I am joking. Like, we know that we're, like, equally loved, so that's why we can joke about it. But with God, he has no favorites. He really doesn't. He's not like, oh, no, you know, he's my favorite, not you, or that person in church, or, oh, I wish I could be more like that person because they're obviously better and God's favorite. No, God has no favorites. He loves you so much. He created you. He loves you. You are his. And when we truly grasp this, it does affect how we live our life, because we can find our identity and our security in the fact that God loves us. Galatians 4 says, therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son or a daughter. And if a son and a daughter, then an heir through God. We are called God's own, a child of God, his son or his daughter. At the moment, all my friends are like planning trips to Thailand to try and like find themselves. But for us as Christians, we don't need to do that. We know exactly who we are. We are children of the King, forgiven, loved by him. We don't need to find our identity in how much we earn, how good we look, how much stuff we have, how many friends or followers we have on social media. That is not comparable to the love of God. That stuff doesn't fill us. It may give us a temporary high, but it doesn't satisfy us the way God's love satisfies. And again, this can bring us freedom in our life, a sense of peace and a joy in who we are. And we're not like trapped in this world. We are called to transform it. We are really known. God knows us. He knows exactly who you are, your thoughts, your feelings. We are known by him. And when we understand God's character, who he is, and how much he loves us, it brings security into our lives about who we are. We don't need to strive to be something that we're not. But God loves us. He loves you. He made you for who you are. And he calls you his own. That gives us a peace and a hope for our lives, like here today, now, but also for our future. You know, we know that God has a plan for our lives. Through the good and the bad, God has a plan. Like Julian was saying this morning, and he, you know, spoke about it in the correct context, Jeremiah 29:11, which we quote all the time. I know the plans for you, says the Lord. They are good plans. But it's true. He does. He has such a good plan for us. And this plan, it can bring two things. Firstly, peace. We don't need to worry. God has a plan. We are called to serve him, work hard, honor him in our workplace, relationships, friendships. But he also says, don't worry. Matthew 6 says, don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give everything you need. He has a plan for us. We don't need to worry. Yeah, work hard where he's called us. You know, do what he's, honor him in our lives, but we don't need to worry. And then secondly, hope. When we know God has a plan for us, it gives us hope in our lives. Hope for what he has for us. You know, hope for an exciting future ahead filled with adventure and plans to see his kingdom come. Hope for our friends and our family who don't know Jesus yet. Hope for a partner, if you feel like you want to get married. You know, God has a plan. You know, we can have hope in that. Hope for a job, whether you're hoping for a job in the future or the job you're in right now, you need some hope. You know, there's hope. And God gives us this hope and this peace because he knows us and he has a plan. So our response to God's character is that we are filled with peace and hope, not despair or worry, but a confident hope in God. So to sum up, God is a milk and honey God, full of blessings for us. He is King of kings, Lord of lords, creator of the universe. This inspires us to live more like him, live pure lives, turning away from sin and towards God, longing to know more about who he is, affecting our daily life of wanting to know more of him, because we are in like awe and respect and reverent fear of him. But he's also kind, compassionate, loving, gracious, forgiving. And these characteristics help us to live a life of peace, hope, not to worry, feel guilty or be filled with anxiety, but no, to have a freedom in him, a passion and a love for who he is. So to respond to this evening, I've got the Hillsong song that I was talking about, and we're going to play it on the screen, and it's a lyrical video, so you can watch it. And feel free to like close your eyes and just listen and reflect, or feel free to like read it and write down anything that stands out to you. And then also, got a little sachet of honey for you all. You know, God is a milk and honey God. Also, if you go to Tesco, there's a pint of milk for each and every one of you as well for about 50p. But these are free. So you can take this home. This is a little sachet of honey for you. And at some point in the song, come up and take one of these. And when you get back to your seat, just like reflect on what we've been speaking about tonight. Maybe it's that you've never really seen God as that, you know, big, awesome creator God, and you can, yeah, reflect on that and think about your life, and is my life living in honor of who God is as Lord of Lords, King of Kings? Or maybe it's more that you've never really thought of God as being that personal or forgiving, or you feel guilty about something, and you can ask him to forgive you and, you know, hand it over and live in freedom, or you know that he knows you and your identity is in him. You know, maybe have a reflect on who God is, what he's like. Yeah, so grab a little honey, and then you can either take it away and stick it somewhere, or feel free to put it on your toast or your porridge and have a pray while you do or something.